digital marketer. Today's episode is a live recording from the Unplugged stage at Traffic and Conversion Summit, where Garrett talked with Chad Moretta and Arman Asadi, the co-founders of Project Evo.
Hello, hello, everybody. Today we've got a couple of really, really exciting guests. They are the co-founders of Project Evo, the most crowdfunded planner of all time across all crowdfunding campaign sites. And they've dedicated the last years to understanding the lives and differences of our brain types and how it affects the way that we work. So without further ado, please welcome Chad Moretta and Arman Asadi. Well, thank you all for being here. This is super exciting. I stalk Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and I remember finding this planner a couple of years ago, and I was like, this is pretty neat. So to come full circle to interview you guys is a huge honor. So thanks for being here. So as we just heard, you're responsible for launching most crowdfunded planner of all time. So what led you to utilize these crowdfunding platforms, and what was that experience really like for y'all?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's remarkable what we accomplished. And I think it's the only way we would have accomplished it is like with the army that we had. I seriously can't imagine doing it ever alone and having like Chad by my side to be able to do all these all-nighters and make it happen. Plus our team, we got like two or three of our team of nine here. Yeah. First and foremost, like I just don't think that anything like that would have been possible without that kind of an army, because it was difficult. There's a lot of like sleepless nights and sacrifices to do it, man. You don't just like, I really think a lot of people imagine that, Kickstarter, I'll throw it up, I'll put a good video on, and we'll just go viral overnight. We'll take advantage of the organic effects of Kickstarter and Indiegogo,
but it
doesn't happen that way at all. But I think it had a lot to do with the type of company we're trying to create. And we decided on those platforms specifically to reach our target customer. And I think a lot of that comes from Chad's idea around also like where we're going and what we're pioneering in terms of as a company.
Yeah, I think ideally it's like any entrepreneur, you want to scratch your own itch, right? You want to like actually solve the problem that you're trying to face. And so I think for us, it was really easy that we came together and we're like, okay, we have these things and we want to get better at them. And we're going to conferences, we're reading books, we're doing all the things that we all do here. And it's like attraction wasn't fully getting there. Flow wasn't fully there. So for us, it was like, once we understood ourselves and that we actually were making major gains, where does our target demographic live? And these platforms is a great place for it. So early adopters, people that, were really going for technology, and they understood this whole blue ocean sort of realm that we're building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, was that the idea from the get-go to go straight for the crowdfunding, or did that kind of come about as you were developing the product and ideas behind it?
I think it was pretty early on that we decided we were going to do that. And for us, our whole approach was pretty different from every other campaign that exists. Because most people, why do you go to Kickstarter and Indiegogo? You go because you want to raise money to pay for the manufacturing of your product. We'd already done that. We'd already paid the money and put money down and got things moving with manufacturing. Yeah. So for us, it was about how do we create a big splash in the marketplace? How do we show people that this company is not just a planner company, that we're building a whole new paradigm around personalization? How do we actually put our mission, out there for people to be able to resonate with and decide like, I want to be part of that. And that's why we said, okay, we could drive all the ads in the world, but it's not going to give us, and we could use our own email list that we built for years, but there has to be a place that we can tap into that has our exact audience. So then it became pretty clear early on. I was like, we should crowdfund this thing. Yeah. We should do it that way.
Definitely. It is an amazing product. I use it myself. I'm an alchemist.
Genius.
I try. besides being a great product design, great creative around it, what other external marketing factors really went into that launch to really make it have a big splash in the marketplace and be something that people were talking about?
Yeah, besides the actual platforms?
Yeah.
Because, we definitely leaned on that. Obviously, we made an amazing product that speaks for itself. But I think for us, like anything, it's like, even as entrepreneurs, and a lot of this in the beginning was like, I have the perfect idea and we can figure this out. But I think probably the 80-20 of the whole thing was we built a beta group. We built a group of people that were testing it out and they were giving us feedback. This, I think, is actually why these platforms do so well. If people do this the right way, And we did. We're like, okay, what about this? And okay, you're an alchemist. So do you want this as a prompt? What do you want this as a feature? And so I think we took time to really understand our demographic. And that's what made us superior. That's why when we launched, we knew exactly what we were doing.
And just to get really tactical with it, especially for anyone here who's like, okay, I wanna do this. Like,
yeah.
I wanna hit seven figures or even six figures or whatever. On day one, when you launch on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and you should definitely go with Kickstarter first because they require exclusivity. So then you can always roll it right into Indiegogo. But before you ever launch, you have to build up this beta group, as Chad is talking about. It's basically a pre-launch list. Now, you could have this list already, and you could qualify those people to say, hey, I'm going live on February 1st. But the way we really went about it is we actually created a reservation funnel, and we built out a sequenced funnel that allowed people to put down $5. You could choose that dollar amount. It could be $1, it could be $5, it could be $10. And they literally put down $5 so that on the day of the launch, they can get the best price ever on that product.
Yeah.
And so if we sold it for 25, they put down five and they pay the remaining 20 on day one and they get the best price ever. And so you build up that list and then eventually people on that launch day go, they buy instantly. So
smart.
When you set your goal to $20,000 or $50,000 or whatever, you hit your target on day one.
Yep.
And then from there, you're at the top of Kickstarter because you hit your goal. And we hit our goal in 56 nice. Minutes.
Really?
With this strategy, yeah.
Wow.
56 minutes.
Yeah, and then people talk about it and they share it.
Yeah,
and,
you know,
in it, you're built there. That's the nice thing is when they're feeling like they're part of the story and they're building it with you, then, you know, they're the best advocate. They are going to share it. And we have, it's about three to one or something like that. So every person that actually goes in, about three other people that in their network will know about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when we do campaigns at Digital Marketer, we have an entire promotional calendar. We put dollar amounts by those, you know, based on what we expect they'll make for us. You know, as you went out and launched a Kickstarter campaign or a crowdfunding campaign, how did you decide on that dollar amount? I mean, what really led you to choose? And I don't even remember what dollar amount you decided on, but
yeah.
How did you get to that number?
The goal for the goal?
Yeah, the goal for the campaign.
We worked our way backwards from the number of people we got that put down $5 for the reservation.
Okay.
And said, if we convert X percent, we can expect this many people to convert and we'll hit our goal that day. We expected to hit our goal within a day or two. And so we just worked our way backwards from the number of people that we had that we knew were gonna buy.
Definitely.
But we did a lot of other, we tried everything, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we had an insane blueprint of, you know, and that's where also Chad and I are, is like, Chad's very focused on the product, and the reason the product is so beautiful and the packaging is so amazing is he's just obsessive about that process, and he's an explorer, so he loves creating beautiful things.
Yeah.
My background is more, we're both marketers, but my background is more marketing, and so I kind of handle a lot of that funnel stuff and laying it all out. And so, you know, where we kind of tested a lot of these things was we did influencer marketing, we did ads, we did the reservation funnel. But one of the things that worked really well was tapping into the relationships that we had.
Yeah.
I mean, we just told a lot of the influential friends that we had that we were doing this, and we weren't really that diligent about that process. You know, we, between the two of us, we're just lucky enough to have had built a lot of great relationships. So, for example, with Lewis House, we're like, hey, Lewis, check out our planner. We're launching on Kickstarter. Here's the deal. And we didn't ask him to do anything, but he talked about it on his podcast three or four times. Neil Patel is a good friend of mine, a client of mine on the copywriting world.
Yeah.
He was blowing it out everywhere on Twitter and Facebook. And
that's
just
cool.
That kind of created this sense of virality that took off on its own.
No doubt.
A gift, like giving a gift and then knowing how much we put into this and how much we care and alignment, right? Alignment with people. A lot of people, I think they get scared. They're like, oh, this person isn't going to, you know, send out this product or talk about it. But I think if you put time into it and you treat your people obviously right and it's giving value, it's amazing how free marketing happens from that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So successful campaign on the crowdfunding sites. Would you say it's for everyone?
No. Hell no.
Yeah?
Definitely not.
No.
Okay. What makes you say that?
Well, you know, waking up and realizing you've had 3 hours of sleep in a week and you're going along and you're like, what is going on in my life?
Yeah.
No, I think it just takes way more work than people realize.
Yeah.
And again, we have such a unique duo. And, you know, with me being able to lean on Armon, who's been a part of, 13 seven-figure launches and is amazing at funnels and copywriting and everything else. And being able just to have a team in it specialize in what we were doing was the key. Yeah. So it is not throw something in there. It is like, it's a business. It's a real thing. There's strategy, there's time. And, you know, now knowing what we know now, would we do it again? Maybe. But yeah, definitely was very different than I think what we thought going into it.
Yeah, it was definitely very different. I also think a lot of people imagine they can take any concept, flesh it out enough that they can put some images to it, you know, make a video and throw it on a crowdfunding site and that it will take off. And maybe they'll do a little bit of pre-launch marketing and stuff and they'll mm-hmm. they'll tell their friends, they'll tell their family, they'll do some ads. But I wouldn't be surprised if it fell flat because I think a lot of people imagine that they're just going to get lucky. And I would love to meet right. someone who got lucky and understand and like, you know, reverse engineer that. But we had to throw all the bullets that we possibly had and then viewed luck as a possibility and a cherry on top.
Right.
And so that was just a bonus. Oh, yeah, the bonus that Lewis shared it, a bonus that the brain type assessment started going viral. And you can't count on those things. But yeah, I think people just a little bit, I think, underestimate the amount of work you have to put in up front. And I think we live in a day and age, and this is not to dissuade, by the way.
Right,
this is totally like, I'm basically making people
just
feel like they should
here.
Never do this.
Yeah,
it's real talk. It's just like, if you're going to go do something, do it all the freaking way.
Yeah.
Like really show up and be fully focused on that one thing all the way. But yeah, I think that the other component of it is that people in this day and age know instantly if you're being authentic.
Yeah.
So if they can sense at all that this is a gimmick, or that you're just trying to make money, it'll fall flat. And so I think one of the other things that worked for us is that this really matters to us.
Yeah.
Like this is everything to us.
That's
this
so
is
cool.
our mission in life. This wasn't just like, yeah, we're gonna do a planner and an app and put it on Kickstarter. Like we're building a company and we're in it for the long run. And so I think when people sense that in our voice and they see that in our just our character, it's like, They feel it in the copy. They feel it in our like video. It just and the video as well. That's like where you can really connect with somebody. And if they see that, they're like, "Yeah, I want to support that."
Right.
And Kickstarter and Indiegogo, they're designed for that. These backers are like passionate about supporting someone with a vision. So I think that's also that's like the secret sauce right there.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You can crawl through the back end of Kickstarter and you just see all these campaigns that have zero. You know, there's tons of them, thousands. So. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the science, the psychology behind Project Evo. You call it brain type. Mm-hmm. So what really led you to focus on this idea of creating a product that's personalized for the individual instead of just trying to go out and create a product for all?
Yeah, because I think like so many of us, like we went down the path of trying so many different things for productivity to be a little bit more effective and they're all really cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And they're all really similar. And when you buy a product or you take a course or whatever, you're really just opting into one person's subjective opinion and understanding of what works. And so it's not designed for you.
Yeah.
It's not built for you. It's not even about you at all. It's just about me and what I think is going to work for you. And I'm not really taking into consideration my audience. And so, we did everything. We tried, in the video, we tried everything, apps, videos, coaches, masterminds, coming to conferences like this, and then you go home and you try to implement everything and you sort of sometimes fall flat or you lose momentum. Why? What's actually happening there? What is causing that lack of alignment? And that's what led us to really kick off the research around brain type.
Yeah.
And we work with someone on our team, Beck Hannon, who is really the kind of brain type executive on our team, has been doing Jungian psychology and type for about 10 years now.
Wow.
And so neither one of us is the ultimate expert. We're learning a lot as we go, but we have an amazing group of people that support us in this.
And then I think for both of us too, the interesting thing, and I'll speak for me, is like school was such a pain point, is like going to school, feeling like, I wasn't very smart, thrown in the back of the room and expected to learn like everybody else and not feeling good about myself all the way through high school, college, hacked my way through school because I'm like, I'm just not a school guy. I'm not intellectually, this way. So I might as well just focus on something else. And so I think that pain for me was like, there has to be a better way. Like, what are we doing? We're showing up and we're all different. We learn differently. We communicate differently. How am I different than Armand? How is he different than me? How do I set my days up so I have flow? I think we all know that there's this piece of our day that we're not realizing because of something. And we're like, why are we just walking through the motion? So I think it's all this pain of, you know, growing up, trying to be put into a box, and then being, you know, in a work environment where you have a certain role or a job. And for me, it didn't ever fit. And then from there, it's like being an entrepreneur and being like, okay, I'm going to burn myself out if I keep just putting the gas pedal on. And like, what is it, me? No. Why is this person doing it? Why is this person doing it? So standing out of the muck and seeing the whole picture and being like, okay, there is a better way. Personalization's here. And we're all wired differently. So how do we set up our days differently?
Yeah.
I can't tell you the amount of planners that I've gone through that exactly. After 3 or 4 days, I'm like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
So going into kind of the, I guess, before you even launched it, you know, in going into product research, I mean, you had to do a lot of research,
right? 2-3 years before we ever even launched.
Yeah. What was that like? And insane. How important do you look at, or, you know, how important is product research for doing a launch like this?
Everything.
I mean, in our case, it was a little bit different because a core component of what we do is this brain type assessment.
Right.
We had 70 plus thousand people that had taken our assessment and us tweaking it, iterating it over and over and over again before we ever put it out into the world. But like, to just take one step back, like on the brain type piece, I think the reason that it resonates so much and the reason we introduced it in the first place is because when you... like, think about a time in your life when you took any form of an assessment, whether, and it doesn't even have to be scientific. Maybe it was just like a horoscope, or maybe it was something that resonated with you, or maybe you, for the first time in your life, understood something about yourself. That is a life-changing experience. Yeah. When you have a language to describe a part of yourself that you didn't know how to describe before, you just made it tangible, right? Language to me is like this beautiful, holy thing, because without it, you can't actually touch anything. Language is what makes something tangible. Mm-hmm. And so if I can describe why I do what I do or who I am, that is life-changing, because then I can communicate it to people. I'm not good at this. I'm good at this. That's why StrengthsFinder was so powerful.
Yeah.
These are my 5 strengths. This is what I should be focused on. And so with the brain type assessment, we're showing people not who you are, not this is your personality. This is not an end-all be-all. This is a format of preferences. There are 4 brain types, and you have preferences between these 4, just like left and right-handedness. So if you can say, you know, my preferred brain type after taking this assessment is architect, what does that mean to me? That describes a part of myself that needs balance, that needs order, that is very good with details, that has a concrete reality. And you can go into all the nuances of that and understand how to set yourself up, how to communicate to people. It's just, it transforms. Like anyone who's been in an organization that's taken an assessment has seen what it's done to their team. Like when they can finally understand each other a little bit, it just instantly up-levels the empathy in the room.
Yeah, so you understand more.
Yeah, for an entrepreneur or a marketer or someone as part of a team, it just changes the dynamic instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that experience. I mean, everyone that takes it and they're like, oh, you know, which is the feeling they
get.
And looking in the mirror and seeing themselves. So I think that is a key to what we have. And I think anybody creating products, there has to be that feeling where it's like, okay, this is what I'm doing. But what's interesting with our stuff is like they're actually looking in the mirror and they're seeing themselves. Even though they might not have been acting a certain way, they see such clarity that I think it gives people excitement and hope about their ability to control their day and their flow and the way they're showing up in a way that they never could before. And I think that's where, we don't talk about this a lot actually, but I think it's the languaging that we're able to do to make this thing viral, because look at all the assessments there are, Myers-Briggs and all the different ways that they actually, you know, define them. And it's really challenging to remember, like, what are you? I don't know. So I think we spend our time languaging so we know people could communicate, like, oh, you're an architect, people know what that is. I'm an explorer, you pretty much know what that is. So you start understanding other types and how they work with you, then again, it's like not only do you feel seen, but you actually, you know, see the other person. And I remember when I went home for the first time, it's like I never ever talked to my family about my work life. They probably have no idea what I do or where I'm at in the world, and some spy somewhere.
It's true. He's not making that up.
But I remember going home and being excited about Evo, and you know, never fully connecting with my mom, love her to death, but was like always had this like disconnect with knowing who she was. And she took the assessment and she was an oracle, and I immediately like sat back and I looked at her. And I was like, wow, mom, I actually get you. I understand you. Like, this is why you need time to disconnect. And this is what, And she started crying. And I think it was the first time she ever felt seen. And wow. So, and it's changed our entire relationship. And so I think that's the beauty of what we have. And obviously the tool, the system, the Evo Planner, like it adds on to that. But I think the languaging is what really gets it impactful for people.
Yeah. So understanding your brain type after taking the assessment is super important and critical for the entire product. But what benefits do you get individually from knowing and understanding your brain type?
For me personally, most of my days in the past, like I want to have fun. I'm an explorer. So like I want to come in. And like, I just came in late trying to find this place, hug my buddies are here in New Zealand. I'm like, what's up? Like, I want to do that. I want to be that Chad, you know? But in the past, it was like, well, I can't have fun. Like, oh, it's a business setting. So it's like, I was limiting my own self, you know, in a lot of ways. I wasn't doing fun things in the morning. I wasn't setting myself up where I'd be in nature. I was like, can I go outside and walk on a conference call and be in nature? Because I want to do that, but nobody else is. And so it gave me permission to do these things that made me feel great.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's one small example on many, on myself, on how I use it. You have a lot too.
Yeah, I think of it as like two components, and we see it a lot in our community. We have this private Facebook group where we don't really let everybody in. They have to answer some questions, and they have to have gone through a process. And then once they're in, it's very private, and a lot of people on a daily basis share their stories of like how it's impacted them. And it's crazy some of the stuff we've seen. Anyone from a student to, you know, someone who's 75 and starting a business for the first time as a sidepreneur, you know, retired and wants to do something, and or someone who just literally had a transformation in their relationship. But for me, I think of brain type in two components. One is like, what is that thing that I should actually be focused on in order to thrive and create more flow in my life? And for each brain type, there is that one thing. You know, for an architect, it's order, creating order and balance. And I think the other component of it is, what is it that I may not be aware of that I should be doing? And that would actually free me up even more to be more effective and just be focused less on like productivity and trying to check off boxes and just using another app. And it's more about how you show up and how aligned you feel. And for me, as an architect, it's about balance. And it's very counterintuitive because an architect is the one that's going to be most likely to just work all day long, be obsessive. They're going to be probably like have a disposition to being a workaholic. Yep. And yet at the same time, what they need is balance. They actually need to get outside. They need to be more like an explorer. They need to have more fun. But fun comes naturally to this guy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't come naturally to this guy, right? In terms of work, I can't have fun until I'm done working.
Okay.
You know? So when you have this understanding of how your brain type works, and this is all based on Jungian psychology, and you have a series of functions, and based on those functions, you have a preference. And generally, from the time that you were an adolescent, these became pretty ingrained in you.
Yeah.
And they're just a series of functions that you have a preference toward. And you say, for as far as how I process information and how I see the world, this is my preference. And if I show up this way, it's going to create more flow and more alignment. And we see stories every single day.
Yeah. So Ryan on stage last year said community is the new brand. And you talk about having a private community. What has been the impact of having this private community on your business?
Yeah, I didn't hear the talk, but I'll say like I used to have this thing in my head is like community. Community has to be thousands of people. You know, it's not worth even trying, but it always starts with one person. And I know we all know that, but it's like once you actually start, you have to focus on just taking care of that first person, the next five, the next 10, and building an environment that, and cultivating that space for them to feel actually also vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like we posted ourselves a lot in the group showing that we could be vulnerable and have a safe place to talk about what we were struggling with. Today, my flow score was 3 out of 10. Today kind of sucked. Here's why. What can I do better? And then you see people chiming in and being like, try this, try this, try that. And it's incredible because then they share their secrets. The internet world is insane, right? You see a lot of hate. You see a lot of crazy stuff. You see a lot of jarring opinions, but you also see a lot of love. And you see a lot of people open up and tell people that they don't know things that they wouldn't even tell their spouse. That's weird to me.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be cultivated. We need to think more on a grassroots level. And I think without community, it'd be very difficult to create something sustainable and really build a company that's going to last.
Right.
I just don't see how it's possible. Yeah.
So through all this, and as a marketer, I just keep thinking about, you know, comparing brain types almost to customer avatars or customer personas. So when you go out and market your products, do you keep in mind, you know, the brain types of your potential customers when, you know, developing these customer personas?
For us, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have that.
Yeah.
We have that tool. We know what everyone's brain type is. But I think even if you didn't, I mean, one thing you could do is identify their brain types.
Yeah.
You could literally just segment that way. But I think back to like a lot of the segmenting I would do, you know, in terms of just like, is this person more in the box of like an entrepreneur, or is this person a stay at home mom or dad? Is this person a student? And just sending out, whether it be even just through a click basis, like just understanding your audience and segmenting it out. A lot of us think of that as like a bonus. Like, yeah, I'll get to that. But I think it's extremely critical because you can completely personalize and customize your messaging to that person.
Yeah.
And that'd be almost the same thing as knowing their brain type and personalizing how you speak to them. I know this person has a disposition toward wanting to make money. Okay, great. I'm going to speak to them a certain way. And I think that we kind of think of that as a final step. Like, oh, I'm going to build a list first. It's going to be massive. And then I'll start to segment. But I would actually say start with that up front. But
yeah.
For us, yeah, we do it all the time. Like anything that we promote, anything that we do, even our newsletters that we put out, we have like custom tools that we recommend per brain type.
Yeah.
They love that. Like people go crazy for our newsletter. They think it's like, they think they're like a VIP member and they're paying for it. You know, it's that
that's
kind of
cool.
A feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, we know their needs. I mean, that's the thing. We know how to communicate to what's important to them. And so, you know, we have a very different, I think, vantage point because of that. And it's really nice to have people that, you know, again, are active. But I think that's why our conversions are so high on all this stuff we do, is because, yes, we have loyalty, a nice product, videos, marketing, but also we're communicating in their language to them. You know what I mean? So I think that is definitely, definitely key for us.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So we talked on the phone a couple of weeks ago, and you're telling me about a cool project that you're working on with our home school of
That's
University
right.
of Texas.
Yeah, UT Austin.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about burnout, the concept of burnout, entrepreneurial burnout, and flow. So let's talk a little bit about what you're working on with them, and then I want to dive deeper into these two topics of burnout and flow.
So UT Austin psychology department, their graduate level department, like basically – it came about very serendipitously, like all things have for us. I had a reader of my blog who started doing her PhD program there, and then we started getting introduced to their teams and their professors, and they became very interested in everything that we're doing. So our whole goal from the very beginning was to prove the efficacy, the validity, the reliability, not only of just our assessment, but of the Evo Flow System as a tool. So what they're looking at right now, and the new project that we're working on, actually, before I get there, is the Evo assessment. So it's taking our brain type assessment and it's like that on steroids times 10. So it will be a shot heard around the world. And I say that not from a place of cockiness, but from a place of like, we've been working on this for a long freaking time.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be amazing. And so if people are getting that much value out of a free assessment, like now we're working with this university and we know how much like we've spent time on it, it's going to be amazing. It'll really change people's lives. But what they're really helping with is, you know, as an intervention tool, you know, what does life look like before you begin using a system like this that is personalized to you versus after?
Mm-hmm.
And really just measuring that process of what does it look like for someone to go from burnout and this friction that they feel in their life and not really knowing who they are, not knowing what they're good at, to self-identity that is very actualized, to flow, and measuring flow as both a characteristic and a trait,
mm-hmm.
to looking at things like that and really like, okay, this person's more aligned. How do we measure that? And looking at the whole process, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
I don't know any other system that has that type of like, you know, diligence. And so for us, it's an honor that they're doing that. And it's exciting because it's like our outcome is how can we actually get people to utilize, you know, this whole thing with, okay, now you have the right information. And a lot of you here, it's like we learned so much. But then afterwards, it's like, how do you actually implement it into your life? And so having them involved, to me, is like, you know, it's a groundbreaking thing because we're actually going to have all this the science, all these studies done, where we'll know exactly, okay, you take this person, bring them through this process with this information, how do they implement it? How does it affect their life afterwards?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the opportunity we have. And it's really just the beginning with what we're building. But yeah, we're stoked. Super excited.
We would just hate to build another kind of gimmicky product, you know, that just sold well and made some money. And like, we've done that. Like, we've done that. I've done launches. We've made money. Like, it's not about that for us anymore. So to know that we could actually know ourselves and know for our community and anyone who purchases this, that this is going to work in these different traits or constructs that we measure, like that's incredible. So really pumped about it. And like, that's a core part of my focus too, is like making sure that we really loop that stuff in, that we're actually doing in our research, and really become more of that type of company, research company that's built around personalization. Like, that to me really means something.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we've all been there, reaching that burnout phase, just don't want to pick up the pen, don't want to open up the laptop, do the work. What have you learned about burnout and this concept of burnout and how to kind of overcome that?
I mean, obviously burnout is something that happens to probably almost everybody on some level. I think it's an epidemic. If you look around, it's like, again, a lot of people think that being successful entrepreneurs, that you put in more time, and this whole thought around productivity is kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah.
And so I don't see it getting any better. I see it getting worse. Definitely friends that I have and even myself and tendencies, and it's like seeing the way it's like this old thought pattern of having to work more to do the things we have to do, is it has to change because our health is on the line. And all the stats say that, you know, like there's a lot of stats that show how people are just, you know, very, very stressed and their health is impacted. And so, yeah, burnout's there. And for us, we have this whole thought and, you know, let Armand go into the flow aspect of it, but it's like, you know, what would it look like to be in flow? And would that actually be the RX for burnout? And what we're finding is that it is. You know, if you actually look at the things that make you thrive, and for all of us, it's a little bit different, but it is concentrating on like specific things, you know, like getting a certain number of sleep, focusing on your specific brain type exercise that helps you thrive. And so when you start tracking that, measuring that, your baseline on everything goes up. And I think that's one of the most important keys. And so if your baseline goes up, and you're aware of what's going on, then you're least likely to get burnout. You know, I don't want to say that no one will ever go through burnout, because a lot of times we just shut the blinders and keep on running down the tracks. But I know that this new concept of flow that we're creating is definitely probably the best RX for all of that.
Yeah. So what is this concept of flow?
I mean, flow itself as a concept was created and popularized by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. He's a Hungarian, you know, psychologist, and he's known for the book Flow, and he's created, I don't know, 10 books, and he's a researcher. At the end of the day, it's a state of timelessness. It's a state of, you know, you feel your best, you perform your best. And we've all experienced it. Sometimes you experience it when you're writing. Sometimes you experience it when you're rock climbing. It could be done in an athletic setting. It could be done in a thinking setting. But we've all gone to this place where we sort of tap into the zone. And it's that zone. You're in the pocket. You're in that space where everything just feels really good, and you lose track of time completely. So the question becomes, and I think one of the core components of this that I like to think about our work in and think about flow in, is that when you are in this space, the work that you do feels like as if it's constantly fueling you and giving you energy, right? And so it's difficult to burn out because everything that you're doing is fueling you. Whereas I feel like when you're on the edge of burnout, or you're not enjoying your work, or you're not aligned with what you do, everything is taking energy away from you, right? And so it's this dichotomy of, is this taking energy or giving energy? And that's the way I like to think about it in a very simple context, is that's my test. Is this actually helping me or hurting me as I'm doing it? And look, like, we're all going to have to do stuff that takes energy from us that we don't enjoy doing, but it's about playing that 80-20 game and spending at least as much of our time as possible in the things that create flow and give us energy. Right. And if you first know who you are and you know your brain type and you know the things that help you thrive and create more flow, it becomes much easier to spend time in that space.
Definitely.
Yeah, every single successful person that you know, all the greats, they are aware of this. You know, like their flow score is high. I mean, they know, I'm not going to spend doing stuff time that I'm not good at or that I don't like. And so they shift. They're constantly shifting. That's why they can do what they can do. And so I think it's an old concept that's now new and actually really important in the day that we live in right now.
Yeah.
And what we have, and also with technology, we can leverage that. And we can lean on that to be intelligent and aware to actually increase our flow. And like, wow, I feel better than I did last week. Why? Well, my flow score is up. Why? Well, because I actually am aware of what causes my flow. And I've made some shifts. It's actually pretty easy, but it is transformational.
Yeah. What are some simple ways to go about finding your flow? I mean, obviously brain type is a big part of it, but you know, as you're kind of, you know, doing some introspection and looking at yourself, what are some of the questions that you can ask yourself to really help yourself find that?
I mean, one of the exercises I like to do and did before I ever knew about any of this stuff or worked in this area was I would just sit down and really list out everything that I was doing on a daily basis. And I would circle the things that gave me energy, and I would try to defer, delegate, or delete the things that didn't give me energy. And again, it's difficult because especially if you're on your own or you're a solopreneur or you're just, you know, you're working for a marketing company, whatever you might be doing, it's like, how do I delete that? I have to do it. My boss asked me to. But I really think that we're moving toward a new path and a new paradigm where your employer or wherever you're working or even for yourself, you have to cut out the stuff that doesn't help you create flow. You have to do things that actually make you more engaged. You know, Chad was mentioning like people are more, you know, unfulfilled than ever before. Gallup measures this, you know, every few years with something like 87% of people in the most recent study are either completely disengaged or not engaged in the workplace. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's almost 9 out of 10 people that are scrolling Facebook at work. What does that mean? That means they don't give a about what they're doing. Yeah. That means they're not aligned with it. It means it doesn't feel good. It means it doesn't fuel them. So if you had a conversation, and again, I'm using the employee example. If you had a conversation and we're like, hey, I actually can perform really well if I do this stuff, and you know it'll fuel you, it'll make you more fulfilled, it'll help create more flow for you, why wouldn't you do it? Your company would win, you would win. And if you're an entrepreneur, it's an absolute no-brainer. You have to do that stuff. You have to find people to bring in, interns, whatever it might be in the short term,
yeah,
to spend more time in the areas that help you.
Makes sense.
Yeah, people on your team, you'll see that if you start understanding their brain type, if you become more of like a supporter and a coach, then everything rises, right? All your KPIs rise. So it's like, I think that's where we're leading into this life, where we're not just, okay, do more, I want this outcome, but it's like a deeper level of a layer where you're actually going into making sure that they are doing the things that they need to do to show up the right way. And that's part of your job to be as an owner, as a founder, as a manager, as someone that cares about your friends, significant other. You know, it is a deeper layer, and that's the opportunity we have once you understand this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So last question here. How would you say that understanding the different brain types and the science behind how we work have had an impact on your customers' lives, and what tangible difference can this actually make?
Yeah, so I mentioned the group that we have, right? But we also get so many stories just on like Instagram, and people will message us and tell us what's going on. But I mean, I remember one story in particular, we'll call her Sally since this is a private group. Her house, it's pretty emotional story actually, it's incredible. Her house burned down. And what was left after her house burned down was just a few items. And one of those items was her Evo Planner, right? And she came to the group and posted in the group that it had been about a few days since her house burned down and that she had nothing. And she didn't know where to go from there at all. She literally felt complete, as we can all imagine, like you literally have nothing. You're completely lost. All your belongings are gone. Even your identity feels destroyed. But what she talked about was this idea that just by doing the simple exercise of thinking about what she was grateful for 1 minute every single morning, she still, when she had nothing left, found something. And then she talked about this idea of having this system that was personalized to her that allowed her to rebuild one step at a time. And she was on day 3 or so and talking about the fact that she had nothing and yet she still found something to be a little bit grateful for. And she worked her way toward rebuilding her life step by step. And there's like countless stories like that, and students and people like that that are just doing crazy things.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being here. Everybody
out
there.
Thank you.
Thank
you
so much for joining us.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and 3 unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.